It is indeed a great morning today. It's one that the Lord has made, and we have the opportunity to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Thank God for this opportunity again and this way in which He has allowed us to enter into your homes and even into your lives according to His word. Today we are excited about where God has us in this time and season. Again, one that we've never seen before, but thank God we don't have to see it without Him. And we don't have to deal in it as if we have no hope. We want to encourage you this morning to continue to trust and depend on God and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He has a promise to direct your path. Amen? With God leading the way, truly we can get through anything that we might be encountering. Heard in the scripture that God is concerned about everything that and anything that might concern you. So you're in good hands. All you've got to do is invite God into your situation, and He can and will direct you your path. Prayers have gone up this morning, and we are truly grateful to the prayers that are from this place, my wife, grateful to the prayers that are coming from your homes right now into this place. And we just ask in the name of Jesus that God, you would restore unto us the better life that you have for us. I'm thanking God this morning for 2020, this opportunity to see new vision, especially in the light that God has made available to us. And sometimes we can allow so many different things to get into our pathway that we can't see the forest for the trees. So we're just grateful to God that He's slowing us down in this season and allowing us to see clearly for the days ahead. I invite you this morning to a passage of scripture that has come upon us. And it's in the book of Romans, and I believe many of us as believers are familiar with this particular passage of scripture. We have captured for your understanding this morning Romans chapter 6, and we want to look at it from verses 12 through 23. I'm not going to read all of that, but I'm going to just contextualize it with one particular scripture, verse 13, part B. It says, present yourselves to God as people who have been brought back to life from the dead, and offer all the parts of your body to God to be used as weapons to do right. Well, I think that sums up this whole passage that we've chosen for you. I pray that you will read all of it in your your time of meditation this morning, especially as it relates to our text being, have you heard the good news? It's a question that we are asking from several perspectives. One being the perspective that it was good news that was heard by the disciples who were hearing this mandate, those that were following God and through Jesus Christ, and Paul the apostle was sharing with them at this time some even greater good news. On the heels of us celebrating Independence Day, July the 4th, and coming off of a celebration of our own Emancipation Proclamation of slavery being abandoned here in this country, it was good news to the hearers that heard Gordon's message from Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation over 155 years ago when it reached the shores of Galveston. It came late in the year, but not necessarily unaccepted. I believe those that heard it for the first time, they got all excited about the reality that slavery had been abolished. And I'm certain that when they realized that they were 6 months late in getting the news, or however much time it was in getting that news, I'm sure there were still some who were rejoicing. They were just glappy about being freed from slavery, free from being controlled, free from having the undue tyranny on their necks and so forth. And therefore, there was good news to many. Although there were also some who heard the good news and didn't know what to do with it. They heard it. Many probably accepted it, but couldn't realize what to do with it. And sometimes that's the way life is. We have good news, but we don't necessarily know what to do with it. It's almost as if we have not heard the good news. So I pose the question in Christianity today, wondering if we have truly heard the good news. This good news that I'm talking to you today about is an answer to the sin of human degradation. It's an answer to racial injustice that's expressed in our country through the prejudices and the discrimination, knowing that it is morally wrong. It is a sin. And I believe today that these weapons of unrighteousness need to be toned down primarily by the reality of the good news of God. In other words, you don't have to participate in that which has already been overthrown. The good news that Jesus, the Christ, has come, and Jesus has eradicated sin, and Jesus has made it possible for us to live as those who have been brought back from the dead into life eternal. An opportunity to make a contribution in the world that would allow us to be used not as weapons of unrighteousness, but weapons of righteousness. That's the good news. Somebody needs to understand that Scripture continuously challenges God's people to pursue justice, to pursue reconciliation, to pursue shalom in their lives and in the lives of those that we encounter along the way. I'm reminded of Amos chapter 5, verse 24, that says, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." In the Old Testament, it is spoken about the injustices and what God expects of you and I as followers of the Lord. He said, "He has told you, human one, what is good and what is what the Lord requires from you: to do justice, to embrace faithful love, and to walk humbly with your God." Jesus declares to us in Matthew, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like this: you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophet depends on these two commands." I think in light of understanding what God is saying, we can say without a doubt that every man, person, boy, girl is a sacred gift of our Creator. And regardless of creed, regardless of color, we should value them as they are. I think we've overlooked something, church, in the light of good news concerning our freedom, and that freedom being in Christ. I think many have made it, looked over it as well, in the light of what the expectations are, and is encapsulated in this passage of Scripture. Paul is asking us to don't just be hearers, but doers of the word. Paul is helping us to realize that we have a choice in the matter because of this good news, and we don't have to let this sin rule us. Amen, lights. We don't have to let this sin or any sin rule us in this particular day and time, because of what Christ has done for us and who Christ has allowed to rule our very being. I don't know if you understand it or not, but when God gave us the liberty in Christ Jesus, He not only gave us freedom from oppression, He gave us freedom of choice and how we would be His servants. Many of us understand that to a degree, but we only consider it as it relates to our own desires, which can be disordered desires. But God has helped us to understand what it is you and I should desire most. We've got to learn that even ourselves need to learn how to concede to the prevailing attitudes of this day. We've got to learn that we cannot continue to fold to the pressures of this pagan society and do as it is doing. After understanding our identity in Christ, we got to yield to it as having a next step and choose today who we will serve. The good news declares that I'm no longer under the bondage of the old taskmaster, but I have the ability now to choose my own path, and I can be a slave to my flesh, I can be a slave to sin, or I can choose this day to be a slave to my God. I don't know about you, but I think God is paving a better way for me rather than the way that the sin is directing. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift from God is eternal life. And I want to say something to you, saints, that since he has given us the Spirit, we have the power to say no to the unrighteousness that the world wants to offer you and I. Sometimes we will assume, however, that God is okay with how we do, and we operate in the freedom of being in Christ Jesus, and we continue in the way of the world, and we do it because we understand the grace of God. But the scripture goes and talks about it and say, shall you continue in sin so that grace might abound? God forbid. When we take these assumptions regarding God, we are no different than the world, because we literally are eliminating the God of Scripture from any consideration in and over our affairs in this society. We do it the way we want to do it in order that we can live under our own objectives rather than under God's authority. I know you don't want to hear that today, because we've been using grace for a long time. Grace is sufficient for me to do what I want to do until that time comes when I need to find somebody to clean me up and get me back on the right track. But you continually falter, default into the way of sin. What happened to sin? Whatever happened to that three-letter word that we used to hear some long time ago? Now everything seems to be relevant. Everything seems to be relative. Everything seems that we can live life on our own terms, and we use grace to clean us up when it's time for us to be cleaned up. God today is calling us with good news. He's saying to us that we can live under his authority, and if we live under his authority, it simply means that God is accountable. God holds us accountable for embracing what is right in the world today. Somebody's at home right now, perhaps missing church. Many out there are not being able to practice their form of Christianity since this COVID outbreak. And I'm just wondering, have you been just looking the part, or are you really living the life under the authority of God? I believe 2020 is a good time to take a look at yourself. See if the Word of God, in which we are embracing, the Word of God which we are sharing with you, the good news of Jesus who have broke the bondages of sin, if they are taking root in your life and in some way or the other making a transformation in your personal being. It's some time to think about it, isn't it? You got time to think about it right now. You don't get the opportunity to run up in the church and look like you are sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You get the opportunity to feel it right there in your home. How is it with your children this morning? How is it with your husbands and your wives this morning? How is it without the church to be there for you? How are you being the church in the world in which you live in? See, the key to enjoying the freedom of this new life that God has given us is to recognize the power that we have under this new authority. Whereas our flesh generally rule and use us, now we have the Holy Spirit as our governor, as our ruler, as our master, and he wants to lead you into a new place. He wants to lead you into a new being. He wants to lead you into the way in which we'll provide for you eternal life. Wow, preacher, I ain't heard no preaching like that in a long time. But I come by to tell you today, this good news was given to us even before 1800s. It was given to us before Abraham Lincoln. It was given to us before they even embraced slavery as the way of life for us. It was given to us on the day of Calvary when Jesus died for you and me, and on the third day rose with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. So in essence, good news came long time ago. You've been free a long, long time ago. Somebody might be hearing it for the first time today. Clear enough to realize that it don't have to be that way. I don't have to let the tension, I don't have to let the worries, I don't have to be frustrated about those things that are around me. I can call on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, the one who was and is to come. I can call on him, and he has provided for me a comforter to speak on his behalf. And he will tell me just exactly what to do. I will be a slave to God rather than to men and all of their cantankerous ways. challenge you today, church. I challenge you to receive the good news. I challenge you today to accept Jesus and accept his ways and allow him to lead you. Allow him to direct your path. Allow him to order your steps through the Holy Spirit. We got a sign hanging up in our house, and that sign speaks volumes. And in many instances, when turbulence come in the house, we have to look up to the sign and realize who we're going to allow, who we're going to serve in this situation. And that sign simply says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't know about you today, but wherever you might be or whatever it is that's holding you back today or challenging you today, you can allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you into the way of God. And in that way, you will find what the good news is all about. You will find the shalom. You will find the love. You will find the joy. You will find the long suffering that you need. You will find all of those things that the Holy Spirit has for you. And he will enable you to see your way through whatever difficulty you are encountering. I'm going to stop right there. But I believe God is saying to you today that you can choose some freedom in between Independence Day as well as in between our own Emancipation Day. Sandwiched between it all, what makes it all even possible is the way of Christ. Jesus says, "I'm the way."
Yes, sir.
"I'm the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." This we pray for you today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.